I want to start off in Philippians 2 this morning. You know, John taught Wednesday night. If you're not coming on Wednesday nights, you're missing it. We're fixing to have to do some things different to make more space because we're filled up the fellowship hall over there on Wednesday nights now. But John had taught a great message on the gift and value of life. And it was just timely for a lot of people, went along great with the Christmas season. And so today's message really came off of that and what the children presented to us this morning. And in Philippians 2, I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified if you're on a device, starting in verse 5. It says, "Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility, who although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God, God, did not think equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained, but he stripped himself," speaking of Jesus, "Jesus stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity." This is God, Jesus, coming into the earth, a human baby, the son of man, he called himself, stripped himself. I don't know about y'all, but when I see the manger scene, I think, why would you leave who you were and where you were and come be born in a stable? And of course, looking back, we can answer some of those things. I mean, obviously, the Lamb of God's going to be born in a stable. I mean, when we look back, Bethlehem meant house of bread. Of course, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. He's the bread of life. He's going to be born in the house of bread. I mean, we can go back and we can look at the prophecies and them being fulfilled, and we can put the puzzle pieces together now. But seeing him come as a man, realizing that he stripped himself of his deity, of his rights and privileges as deity. He stripped himself and assumed the guise of a servant. And that he became like men and was born a human being. God came to us. Came to us on a level that we could touch. And the fact that we have a high priest who gets us, who knows our weaknesses, and doesn't turn his back on us because of those, that's a good day, church. It says, "And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross." He went beyond what a human would normally do for another human. He carried his obedience to God beyond that. And so when we see the manger scene and the humanity of Christ, and we think of his humanity and his humility on the cross, our minds can't help but say, why would God send his only son in this sin-filled world to a bunch of people who have rejected God all along? Why would he send his only son into that? And why would Jesus, the Son of God, leave glory, leave the splendor, leave the privileges that he had as being God and become the Son of Man? And church, there is one simple answer, and there is only one answer, and that is you. You. And when we read, and you know, we talked about John 3:16 last week, and when we say God so loved the world, sometimes we see it as this mass, and sometimes we need to stop and think, Max, God loved you so much that he sent Jesus. That makes it different, doesn't it? It makes it personal. Sometimes we're not in that crowd when we say God so loved the world. Well, we were. We are the reason that he did what he did. And when John was teaching last week, this came to me, this what I'm fixing to say to you right now. And it just moved me. The Holy Spirit said to me in my mind, you see, the value of something doesn't come from what it is. The value of something doesn't come from what it is. Its value comes from what someone is willing to give for it. That's it. See, I wasn't worthy. I wasn't worth it, worthy. But he wanted me. And see, a lot of people X themselves out. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what's going through my mind right now as I'm sitting in church. You don't. He didn't pay the price for you because you were worth it. He paid the price for you because he wanted you.
Yes.
He valued you. And that was John's message, the value of a life. And so I told Chelsea she wrote today's message, and she looked at me funny, but she really did. We were sitting in the floor. Jordan, Paul, and I were playing VeggieTales. And if you don't know who VeggieTales is, you're missing out on one of life's greatest pleasures. Sorry, cameraman. And so we were playing with the pirates that don't do anything. I won't sing it for you. But we were playing with the pirates that don't do anything ship. And having a great time. And Chelsea said, you know, I've tried to find Jordan Paul some VeggieTale toys. And she said, they don't make them anymore. Well, you know what happens when they stop making something? The value goes up. The value goes up. And she said, you know, right now on eBay, these things are selling from anywhere from $60 to $100. And you know those little Larry Boy cars that you probably sold in a garage sale? Don't even look up the price on Larry Boy car right now. I'm talking about Larry the Cucumber, Larry Boy car. Dylan, you were a Larry Boy fan. If you still got that, hang on to it. Because when you stop making something, the price goes up. That's it. It's selling. That one right there was selling for, I think, $69.99. The value went up. God's not making another you. He's not making another you. You're it, Brad. You are unique. Kathy said amen. God's not making another you. He's not making another of the person that we meet on the street. And they may not look worthy. You may not look worthy. I may not look worthy. That doesn't matter. That's not where the value came from. There's not another you. So what does that do to your value? It goes up. It goes up to such a degree that he was willing to pay the most costly price, the highest form of giving that could possibly be done was his only begotten son. Perfect, pure, holy. And he chose to pay that price for me, for you. That makes each one so valuable to him. And it doesn't matter what they're made up of. Because this is made of the same plastic that it was made of when it was produced. This is plastic. It probably didn't cost them 50 cents to make this thing. But someone valued it, sold it in a store for, I don't know, 30, 40 bucks. But now they're not making any more of them, so the value's gone up, and now we're talking $70 to $100. Y'all can't have this going home with me. $70 to $100 bucks. Jordan, Paul, and I like this thing. I think what we need to realize is it doesn't matter what you're made up of. That's not what sets your worth, Amanda. That's not what sets your worth. What you're made up of, your past, your history, your thoughts, your feelings, that what you're made up of, that does not set your value. Its worth is not much. That ship, its worth is not much. It's plastic. It wasn't worthy of the eBay price. I'm not going to pay it. Chelsea might, but I'm not going to pay it. I'm not going to pay it because it's not worthy of that price. It's plastic. But its value didn't come from what it is. Its value comes from what someone is willing to give for it out of the desire that they have to have it. And that's why Jesus was willing to come into our level of living, into a fallen world, knowing full well that he was slain from the foundations of the world, knowing the price that would have to be paid, knowing he would be separated from the Father God, which is the ultimate of suffering, that he would be, because all this was prophesied about him. They didn't find this out on the day of the crucifixion. This had already been said by the prophets in the book of Psalm. That he would be beaten, the crown of thorns. It was pictured in Jonah. That 3 days and 3 nights he would be in the heart of the earth with all kinds of spiritual torture and warfare going on while he paid the debt for my sin nature. While he paid the debt for your sin nature, and now we want to say, but we're not worthy. Well, of course we're not worthy. We don't have to be worthy. We're valued. We're valued. It wasn't what we are made up of. It's what he's willing to pay for us out of his desire to have us. And then we go back and we read John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, remember we're the whosoever's from Whoville? That's our new church motto. We're the whosoever's. We're from Whoville. That whosoever would believe on him would not perish but would have everlasting life. Whoever. It is not whoever like you're generic. It's whoever like you're special. And I think sometimes when we read that the world and whosoever, we kind of get lost in the thick of things there. No, it's because they're not making another Cherie. So her value. And if we start looking at each other that way, and I have to work on this. Because there's some people I look at and sometimes it's hard. But we're supposed to think like he thinks, and we're supposed to look like he looks. It's okay if you have to remind yourself. There's probably maybe one or two people in here that don't have to remind themselves. And I would like to talk to them after church, pray for them for lying. Because there are some challenges out there. There's some challenges out there. But didn't he just tell us in the first passage that we read from Philippians that he wanted us to have the same mind and attitude as Christ? God so valued you. He so desired you. He so loved you that he gave the most costly, precious price. He paid that for you. You were bought with the blood of Jesus. And here's the thing, when we say that, and go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians 6, because we're gonna read just a little bit out of there, just one verse. But I think when we say he bought us, we need to remember that word redeemed. He redeemed us. I really like the word redeemed better, because we have a transactional mentality. And if I say God bought me, if I'm not careful, I take on a slavery mentality, a servant mentality. I've been bought. You have been bought, but he bought us to set us free from slavery. Amen. There's the difference. So 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for you were bought with a price. And when you look that word price up, you know what it means? Value. I looked it up in the Greek. It means value. You were bought with a value. You were bought with a price. Let me tell you, it was a high price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Yes, we belong to God, but this is not slavery. We were in slavery, right? The scripture teaches us that. We were enslaved to sin. We were enslaved to the flesh. We had no way of overcoming the mess that we were in. We were bought with a price. He bought us out of slavery to set us free. See, if Christianity is pictured as slavery, we're missing it. Servanthood and slavery are two different things. We choose to serve him out of love because he bought me and redeemed me out of hell. He bought me and he redeemed me from myself, from my past, from my hurts, from my sin, from my fleshly desires. He bought me out of that prison that this flesh held me in, and he set me free, and I choose to serve the one who loved me enough to die for me. Lord knows I've served enough that weren't willing to die for me. Surely I can serve the one who died for me and gave himself for me. You are bought with a price, and it was valuable. And that price was worthy. He was worthy. He was sinless. He was the perfect, spotless Lamb of God who chose to take on my sin nature. That price was out of value, not out of worthiness, not out of us being worthy. It was out of him valuing us that much. I really feel like that's the stress point today. It wasn't about you being worthy. It was about you being valuable to him, bought with a price. The price was paid. The price was paid. The cross, the whole crucifixion, the whole heart of the earth experience that Jesus went through, the price has been paid. You are bought with a price. Now, Marilyn, the thing is, will I live valued? See, when we find out about Jesus, we're faced with a choice. And either we value staying in jail, staying in prison to ourselves, staying in prison to our past, or we say, you know what? Past, I've been paid for. I'm breaking out of here. You're not holding me back anymore. You don't have control of my mind anymore. I get to choose what I think because I have been bought. Past tense, I have been bought. The price is paid, church. The price is paid. It's paid. If we're living enslaved to our past, to our failures, to our minds, to our bodies, to our fleshly desires, that's our choice because the blood spilled. And the blood's been presented in the Holy of Holies on the mercy seat. And that's not dead blood that came from a dead animal. That's living blood that perpetually cleanses us from our sins. There's a whole difference. That's why, you know, it was dead blood. It was dead blood that the priests would bring in and put on the altar. And that's why they had to keep sacrificing. But when the living, risen Savior, he himself took his blood into the Holy of Holies and presented it, and it was found worthy, then my sin is no longer anybody else's business. It's nobody else. Satan tries to come at me with what I've done yesterday, this morning. But I am not my own. I've been bought with a price. You're going to have to go talk to my owner. That's a good day. That's a good day. And Jesus Christ did that for me. So, you know, when we read and we see the manger, that was a precious moment. It was a glorious moment in history. It was prophecy being fulfilled to the T, absolutely perfectly. Even the camels and the kings, all of that was prophesied about. Micah, the prophet Micah prophesied some of it. Isaiah prophesied some of it. And we're talking about some of those thousands of years before Jesus was ever born. Even the crucifixion was pictured by the psalmist David in the book of Psalms. And I love what my dad would say, more accurately than the people who stood there and watched it. The psalmist David prophesied it. So when we see the manger scene, we got to realize the power of it. God came to me. He was not willing to do life without me. And it took, think about how much time it took from the book of Genesis until the New Testament, the book of Matthew. How much time it took for God to get people. Y'all ever worked with people? I want to say bless God's heart. I mean, he's having to get people to say things that they don't even understand what they're saying. Isaiah is saying stuff. He doesn't even realize what he's saying. Micah's saying things. Jeremiah's saying things. They don't even realize what they're saying. And yet God, through the ages of time, managed to get those words, not just spoken, but written. And now we pick up our Bibles and we can go back, SJ, and look at these things that the prophet said, and we can see them on this day that we celebrate that we call Christmas. We can see them come to pass so perfectly. Can y'all think of some of those? I mean, I know it talks about the kings that would come, that they would bring. And y'all, we do three kings. The song, we three kings. We do three kings because we don't probably have enough wise men characters to display what actually happened when they came to the house where the child Jesus was. And we can't do that timeline up here, you know. But they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It didn't mean there was three kings just because there's gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were coming to present to a king. And when a king was born, from the way the prophets describe it, there was a caravan of camels coming. They weren't bringing a little box of gold to a king. That'd be an insult to a king. Gold, because he was a king, right? Frankincense, because he was a priest. And myrrh, because he was going to be crucified. And these things, because Joseph had to get up. Remember, the angel woke him up and he said, get out of here. Herod's going to try to kill the baby. And he had to leave the country and go to Egypt. Amen. Did you know that costs money? Y'all traveled? Yeah. Try going to Disney World. If you're going to travel, you've got to have funding to travel. Here's Joseph with Mary and a newborn child. And Joseph's not in town where he was a carpenter, where he could do his work. So God sends these kings, already prophesied, already provided through his word. God's ahead of us. He's never behind us. He's ahead of them by his word. He's already prophesied these kings are coming, these wise men. They're going to bring these gifts. And what do you think those gifts did? You think they just put them on a shelf? They funded the trip. God funded the trip. If God's going to wake you up in the middle of the night and tell you to go to another country, he's going to fund the trip. He's the provider. And so he provided. We read this story and it's cute, but God is faithful to his word, church. That's what this tells us. We knew he was going to be born of the lineage of David because the prophet said it, and it had to be. So God had to protect that lineage. And that took some doing because David lived a kind of risky life. We don't often think about what all was in play to bring us this moment that we celebrate. It took his word. And it took God being faithful to his word. And as the scripture tells us, hastening his word to perform it. And he had to do it through people. God bless him. How do you say God bless God? He had a plan. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. From that moment in Genesis when mankind had fell, when they had chosen wrong, when they had sinned, when they had transgressed, when they had committed high treason against God. They'd bowed their knee to a cursed God. See, the curses in the earth are not from God. The curses in the earth are from man bowing to a cursed God, Satan. And so the consequences thereof are still in the earth. And God just wouldn't leave us in that condition. It's not how he created us. He sent his only begotten son. That whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Amen. I know this is short today. I didn't know how long the kids would be, but I think they preached it beautifully. And sometimes we complicate the gospel. And the simple truth is, God so loved the world. Now we get to choose if we want to live valued, if we want to see what all took place for this to happen, and to realize that it's for me as an individual, because he's not making any more Susan Dawns. And so a very high value was put on me, and a very high value was put on Anna Janae. Aren't you glad I know your middle name? Anna Janae, did I say it right? Okay, good, I thought she's telling me, well, I got it wrong. When we begin to take it personally, our lives will begin to change. We'll begin to live differently. It's different when you live life loved. See, religion wants to make you scared of God. Christianity wants to say it's near you. It's near you. He came for you. Amen. Next week, let's talk about next week briefly. If y'all give Children's Church a warning, Mr. Frank, if y'all give Children's Church a warning that I'm winding down, Sherman's waving at me. Oh, you did? Okay, thank you. Thank God for our security team, right? Next Sunday, I know some of y'all are very thankful for them because they help you so much. Next Sunday, we're going to do communion. We will have worship. We will have a message, and then we will do communion down front. Your children will be in children's church, but if you want your children to take communion with you, we'll give you that opportunity to go up and get them, because we will be doing it with the family glasses, the big glasses, not the little communion cups. We will be doing the glasses, and if you have family here, and if you don't, please still come. Because we want to have communion with you. And our staff will be up here. And we want to pray over everybody that comes up. Dads, moms, and the family. Sometimes they want to choose to pray over their own families. There's no, go for it. We love that. But if you want us to pray over your family, we will. We'll take our time doing that. Message won't be long, but the message will be great. Because we're going to talk about the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. If y'all will, stand with me. Is there anybody here today? I know we had someone last week who after service made a commitment to God, to Jesus Christ, accepting them as Lord and Savior to make changes in their life. And so I don't want to miss that opportunity. We don't take it lightly. It's a huge moment in life when you make that decision and you accept the love. And it gives you a defense against your mind. When the thoughts come of unworthiness, I don't have to be worthy, I'm valued. I don't have to be perfect, I'm valued. This thing is not perfect, stickers are coming off of it. I noticed lots of crumbs in it where we've had snacks apparently on the ship. And it's not perfect. You know what? That doesn't affect its value when you want it. And so please keep that in mind when your mind tries to give you fits. You don't have to be worthy. You're valued. Amen. Anybody here need to accept Jesus as Lord? If you will, come up front. We've kind of stopped saying hold up your hand, because God said, or Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. But if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before the Father. And that means on the day of judgment, when God's sitting on the white throne and he is judging the world, you're already judged. There's no judgment for you. Jesus will look at God and he'll say, this one's mine. And if you accepted his son, you are good with God. That's a good day. So we've kind of stopped doing the hold up your hand if you want to get saved. We're a let's acknowledge before men so that Jesus can acknowledge us before the Father. Anybody here need to do that today? You won't have to think of what to do. We'd be glad to guide you. Romans 10:9-10. If you're not sure if you're saved, go read it. Romans 10:9-10. And make sure. And then tell somebody. Tell somebody. It's an important part. Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you for the message that the children taught to us today. Father, I pray over these children. We as a congregation speak over the children that were represented in the house today. Father, we thank you that you protect them. We ask that you give their parents wisdom, that you guide them in how to train them, how to discipline, how to teach, how to show them by example your love so that they can understand and accept the good Father's love. Father, we ask that you would do what Jesus prayed when he was praying for us, that you would keep them from the evil. You would keep them from the evil of the age, that you would protect their hearts and their minds, that the word that they've heard in children's church and from their parents, Father, that the word that they've heard would be alive on the inside of them, and that it would protect them, that it would guide them, that it would give them wisdom and be a strength to them, that it would bring healing to their bodies and to their souls. Father, we thank you that we have a Savior who was willing to pay the price. And I just want you to know I feel so valued by your word this morning. And I thank you and I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Church said, amen. Amen.